This is Honest Reporting with Simon Plasker, keeping an eye on media bias and fake news.
Good afternoon, Simon Plasker. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yes, very well, thank you. So, the New York, what's it?
New York Times.
What did the New York Times do or not do?
Well, the New York Times normally does something, unfortunately, every week. But this particular week, we have a horrible little story here, one that's actually quite close to home from your perspective, because it was a focus on how Al-Qaeda terrorists in Africa have recently cited the Palestinian cause as a justification for their terror attacks.
Right, that's so in Kenya.
Yes, absolutely. And it was an interesting article, but it also examined Israeli diplomacy on the African continent. Now, clearly we could talk about diplomacy between Israel and South Africa, but we won't really have much to talk about on that front. But this particular article of the New York Times was talking about how Israel has restored relations with countries such as Chad, increased levels of cooperation with Ethiopia, Kenya, amongst others. Now, I think what we saw here was something that betrays the real feelings of the journalists responsible for writing this, because the article itself didn't necessarily display overt anti-Israel bias, but some of the language that was used, and I think they didn't even notice what was wrong with it. When I looked at it, you know, my nose started twitching because there was a real kind of a faint whiff. So just to give you a couple of examples here. It talked about the attacks in Kenya and Mali also coincided with, and I quote, Israel stepping up its influence on the African continent. And then it said that Israel has made a concerted strategic push into Africa and talked about flexing its muscles. And it also said the push into Africa. And then this was something that really, really got to me. It said Israeli officials can barely contain their glee at seeing the once solid ideological support for the Palestinians give way to flexible geopolitics. I asked a few people on Twitter, was I the only person when I thought about, you know, Israeli officials can barely contain their glee? You know, you think of that horrible caricature of the Nazi one and the Jewish guy with a big nose rubbing his hands. And this, from a journalistic perspective, this is editorializing. You know, the journalist is kind of projecting his own feelings onto what's supposed to be a factual report. And, you know, these are the sort of, as far as I was concerned, you know, you have to ask, does any other country's diplomacy get described in these terms? Because, as I'm sure you're well aware, China and Russia are running rampant on the African continent now, doing all sorts of diplomatic deals which have a serious political agenda. But, you know, Israel, you know, like every other country, it's all sort of realpolitik. There's nothing particularly nefarious about it. You know, we're offering African countries drip irrigation, technology, all sorts of things. And yes, one would hope they would become friendlier and maybe vote for us in the United Nations. But this is not a case of, you know, the Jews trying to control the Africans. And there was something that made it sound really, really dirty in the New York Times.
It's so interesting because they've taken something that is essentially very, very good and just an opinion. And it's factually based because Israel does have a special interest in Africa, and it's not about votes. It's about uplifting. It's about being a light unto the nations. And they do that. You know, Israel.
Absolutely, yes. We have programs here that are specifically meant to reach out to, you know, African countries to help them on their development.
Yeah, from water purification to drip irrigation and crops, and it's unbelievable what Israel does in African countries where they are welcomed. I mean, it's actually phenomenal. And a journalist has just completely taken his bias and, you know, language is so important. You know, Simon.
Oh, sorry. I thought the other Simon. I'm also just interested in the New York Times itself, because this is not the first time that we're speaking about the New York Times taking a very anti-Israel stance. And I mean, here you are, you're talking about a newspaper which was initially, I think, owned by a Jewish family in probably one of the most Jewish cities outside of Israel. Where is the, what's the reason for this?
Well, I mean, you say it was owned by a Jewish family. The family were let's call them Jew-ish. They really had no connection to Jewish community or Judaism whatsoever. But you're right. The New York Times, of course, New York has a huge Jewish population. But the newspaper itself considers itself to be very liberal. It's very, very hypercritical of Israel. They've tried to balance it with a couple of very, very good opinion writers. But that doesn't make up for the fact that you can see the general disdain towards Israel in its pages.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a very disappointing approach that one can't be liberal and supportive of Israel anymore. There's almost an attempt to drive a wedge between that approach, and it's difficult for those of us who in the center left.
Yeah, you know what's also interesting is how many people read that article and didn't pick up the nuanced language. Yeah. And
it's become so normalized now, I'm afraid to say.
Simon, what happened with The Independent?
Well, The Independent is my least favorite newspaper.
We didn't know that. Thanks for telling us.
don't go and read it. I'm having continuous problems with them. And, I think one indicator of the sort of people that they are trying to reach is if you take a look at the comments section underneath some of their reports about Israel or anti-Semitism in general. And some of the stuff you see there is quite frankly disgusting. And I wrote a piece about how this is enabling anti-Semitism in the UK. In case you're unaware, a recent report came out and it showed that anti-Semitic incidents in the UK have reached a new record high. Yeah. So this was the background to this particular story and how, in particular, the debate within the UK Labour Party and Jeremy Corbyn and those issues, that may have driven the anti-Jewish incidents. And I took a look at some of the comments underneath, and quite frankly, it was a sewer. We had, for example, it talked about some of the pro-Israel MPs in the Labour Party. And it said they are on a prepaid mission in voicing a dissent funded directly from Tel Aviv, and that they're using their personal faith to add legitimacy to illegal activities in the state of Israel and getting paid by Israel for it. That's just one example. Another one talked about serve these fifth columnists right. Talked about it's a smear campaign. There are some headbangers in the Jewish lobby. Jewish MPs carrying out false flag operations on behalf of Israel for propaganda purposes. And it ties into the anti-Semitic trope of dual loyalty, that these MPs, these British MPs who may support Israel, are working on behalf of another state. They are essentially traitors to Britain. This is anti-Semitism. And this stuff is all over the Independent's comments section.
Can I ask the same question again, Simon? I know very little about the Independent as a newspaper. Tell me about the ownership, who it's representing, what and why.
And also what checks and balances are in place where editors are then held to account for including something like that. It's hate speech.
Well, I believe it's hate speech. I mean, the moderators do take down some of the worst stuff, but then when you see that there's a blank there and you realize something's been taken down and you compare it to some of the stuff that's been left up, I mean, it's like you cannot begin to imagine what must have been there that the moderators thought it was serious enough to remove in the first place. So I believe that they are literally using clickbait to appeal to a really rabid anti-Israel audience, because they've had a few financial problems. Their print edition has disappeared now. It's gone out of business, and they are solely on the web, where they need to attract views and clicks. And the best way to do that today is to write something that's horrifically anti-Israel and then just let the trolls loose on the comment section.
Yeah, and also the people who will come out to defend Israel, because those are such a difficult situation. Yeah. Simon Pluska, keep up the good work. Thank you so much. That is where we leave it this week.
Thank you.
Have a good week.